Welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Okay, this is Nick Scherfield with HoustonTexans.com here with Claire Farnsworth of Seahawks.com. He's in his 31st year covering the Seahawks. Claire, thanks for joining us today. The Seahawks have never been down to Houston. I've only played the Texans once in their history back in 2005. What seems to be the general perception of the Texans from the locker room in Seattle, and what have the players been saying about coming down to Houston?
There, a lot of them are excited about coming to Houston because it's the first time that most of them are going to play in Reliant Stadium, and then there is a small contingent here of guys not only from Texas but the Houston area. There's D.D. Lewis, a backup linebacker, Corey Redding, one of their defensive linemen, and Jordan Babineau, their strong safety, who just this week got his second consecutive game ball for the effort against the 49ers, is from Port Arthur. So they're all really looking forward to that, but it's been kind of an education process this week preparing for the Texans because, like you said, the Seahawks, they haven't played since 05, and that was up here in Seattle. So they're, a lot of the names are new to them, a lot of the, trying to get the matchups and the numbers and all that stuff. So it's it's a team they just don't play very often, so they've had to do a little bit of extra work this week to get prepared for this game.
What seems to be jumping out about the Texans to them?
Well, obviously there's Andre Johnson. when you lose Steve Slayton this week, and then with Matt Schaub playing with a bad left shoulder, and then of course the tight end going on injured reserve earlier, Johnson is a guy that they have to be very aware of. The kind of line is he's not just a big play wide receiver, he's a big wide receiver, and it's those types of physical presence receivers that they've had problems with in the past. They face the Cardinals twice a year with Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald. They've played Dallas this year, Indianapolis, some of these teams with better wide receivers, and they've had some problems containing them. So he's an obvious focus. And then Matt Hasselbeck, their quarterback, who got beat up pretty well last week. He was sacked five times by the 49ers, tying a season high, hit another eight times, took a knee to the back, and aggravated his bruised right shoulder that he's had for a while scrambling. We were asked about the lack of a pass rush, and he goes, well, they got that one guy, number 90, he's got six sacks, that's enough. So he's been impressed with the physical nature and the speed that the front seven of the defense have. But as he says, it's been, you've kind of had to match the names with the numbers because he wasn't really familiar with a lot of these guys.
Of course, number 90, you'll be talking about Mario Williams, the number one overall pick in 06. How is Hasselbeck? How's his health this week? I know he's been banged up, but he's back at practice now, right?
Yeah, he had to sit out on Wednesday, and I asked him if that was precautionary or necessary, and he said it was actually necessary, because I think I was telling you, he took Patrick Willis's helmet to the back by his left shoulder in the San Francisco game in week two, fractured a rib, had to sit out a couple games because of that, has come back from that, but then he bruised his right shoulder a couple weeks ago and then aggravated it again on Sunday. So they're kind of trying to be cautious with him, not have him be out there too much, but that's a huge key for them, not only this week, but the rest of the season, is they have to get better pass protection, be able to protect him. Greg Knapp, their offensive coordinator, was saying this week some of the problems they had in the passing game against the 49ers was that Matt just didn't have time to make his progressions. He couldn't get into his reads. Like, each route has four or five progressions that you're supposed to work through, and he was getting to two and already being hit. So he's better, but he has taken some hits this season.
You talk about how vital he is to the offense. I mean, obviously he's been to the Pro Bowl a few times, but Gary Kubiak, the Texans coach, said this week that when Hasselbeck's on, he's as good as any quarterback in the league.
That's a really great point. When he gets this offense in rhythm and they get rolling, it's really something to see. It's quick tempo. It's like the thing where they're kind of dictating what they're going to do to the defense rather than worrying about what the defense is going to do to them. And you talk to a lot of players that come in here when Nate Burleson first got here and TJ Huzmanzada, the wide receivers, that, they're the ones that are running down the field and have to get back up into the huddle and then back into the next play. And they're talking about, man, these guys are moving so fast. It's difficult to do, and it takes a while to adjust to that. But and I think the value to him, he missed 2.5 games with that fractured the rib in his shoulder or near his shoulder, and they lost all three of those games. I think that's pretty much indicates the value of this guy to the team. And it's not just his physical presence on the field. He's a leader, on the sideline, on the field, in the locker room. He's kind of become the face, the voice, and the conscience of this team since he was acquired in that 2001 trade with the Packers.
Other than Hasselbeck, what would you say have been the most important factors in the Seahawks winning their last two games?
The defense has just played better. They've made more plays, and granted it was the Rams and the 49ers, and fans want to try to discount that. Well, you know, who have they beaten? They haven't beat anybody good, but the defense has actually been making some plays. They've been getting pressure on the opposing quarterbacks, which is a thing that's been missing. They're also getting some continuity in their offensive line. They've used four starters at left tackle, and one of them wasn't Walter Jones, who was, you know, the preferred option there. So basically in the planning process, it's been five guys at that spot. They've used three different guys at left guard, a couple of centers. You know, they just haven't been able to get any continuity in the line, which is not allowed them to progress as much as they wanted to in the zone blocking scheme that they're using for the first time this year under Greg Knapp. So those two things together have put a lot of pressure on Hasselbeck, as we were talking about, not only in the pass rush, but just being put in third and long situations where the defense knows you're going to pass. So those are a couple of the things that they've been doing better the last couple games that they weren't doing previously. And another element, too, is just coming out fast. They scored first quarter touchdowns in their last two games, but had only done that once in the previous seven games. So, and they have not scored a touchdown on their first possession at all this season. So that's something that's improving, but they still need to be better at, especially this week.
Yeah, that's something the Texans weren't able to get done, scoring on the first possession until game against the Colts a couple weeks ago, actually. But one other similarity that people have been talking about a lot this week here in Houston are the two highly rated, highly drafted linebackers, Aaron Curry and Brian Cushing, the first two off the board in the 09 draft. What can you tell us about the rookie season that Curry's had in Seattle?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's what I'm writing about for today is the two of them, and not just them, but that entire rookie class, and just how impressive it's been. The infusion of rookie linebacker talent coming out this year has been unbelievable. But Curry came out with a surge, I guess is the best way to put it. He plays, in his words, to the echo of the whistle. So he got a few opponents upset with him the first couple weeks, but he is a ferocious, fast, quick, and at times violent player. I mean, he's got the speed and the size and the quickness and the strength to like blow things up at times. He did get into a situation where he kind of was hitting that rookie barrier that they talk about. So a couple weeks ago, they decided to not use him as much on third downs. Could give him a little bit of a rest, allow him to focus more on the more limited role. And he's really responded to that the last couple weeks and been playing better. So it's going to be interesting because it's two really good rookie linebackers on the field. This week, and then a couple weeks from now they go to Green Bay, so he'll get to see Clay Matthews, and he's already played James Laurinaitis, the Rams guy, a couple times this year. So this is quite a rookie linebacker class that we're all being treated to be able to watch this season.
And when you look at the numbers for Curry, I mean, I believe it's, 55 tackles he has on the year. Curry has been an important part of this defense, has he not?
Yeah, he really has, and from the get-go, I mean, he kind of, he came in a little bit late from, before he signed his contract, and then he had an injury early, so he didn't play a whole lot in the preseason, but once they kind of unleashed him during the regular season, yeah, he's been very much an impactful player, and a lot of times it's not, his stats don't really tell the story of how he played.
All right, should definitely be an interesting thing to watch on Sunday. Claire Farnsworth, Seahawks.com, we appreciate you joining us.
Okay, anytime. Thanks.